This is Jay Sekulow, a threat from the Obama administration. The issue, Israel.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I'm not here to tell you that the settlements are the reason for the conflict. No, they're not. No, they're not. But I also cannot accept the notion that they don't affect the peace process, that they aren't a barrier to the capacity to have peace. And I'll tell you why I know that. Because the left in Israel is telling everybody they are a barrier to peace, and the right that supports it openly supports it because they don't want peace.
I laid out my vision for two states, for two peoples. I haven't changed. It's there. I believe in coexistence and mutual respect. The problem, and it's the only way we're going to get to peace. I mean, you have to have this mutual recognition and mutual acceptance. The problem we have, and the core of the conflict we have, is that the Palestinians persist in refusing to recognize a Jewish state in any boundary.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We have always stood against any imposition of a, quote, final status solution, and against any resolution that is unfair and biased against Israel, and we will continue. We don't support that. And there's been, there's been no decision made about any kind of step that may or may not be taken in that regard.
Yesterday, Secretary Kerry of the Saban formed, in his remark, gave a stinging rebuke of the settlement policy, but he also refrained from committing to a veto at the United Nations. Is that a departure from past American policy?
I think so, Saeed. I mean, we've said that before. I've said it before. I know John said it before. And it's consistent with always what's been our approach. You know, we also often will make the point as well is, you know, we don't believe that multilateral settings are necessarily the best way to pursue what we believe is the ultimate goal here, which is, a two-state solution. That's up to the parties.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let me tell you what has happened and what we're dealing with. Last week we reported, and we were very pleased with this, a unanimous resolution passed in the House of Representatives towards the administration to not do anything that would impact Israel's national security, including a return to the pre-67 borders, no unilateral action, encouraged, in fact, that there would be, if necessary, a veto at the UN. So that was the status of things. However, there has been a very positive development. Than's been working aggressively on that. That was a good sign. But we said we needed to keep our guard up, and we needed to keep our guard up for precisely what has happened now. And that is, Jordan, Secretary Kerry is beginning to get statements out there at some symposiums that he's been at here at the waning days of the administration, basically saying that nothing's off the table. The administration may well exercise the veto if they decide to or not. It's up to them, and no guarantees at this point.
Right, so the Obama administration, till its final days, through its top diplomat, Secretary of State John Kerry, is still leaving the door open, putting everyone on edge, especially the Israelis, you can understand, but also those in the Trump transition. This also impacts the incoming president and his team as they try to actually get negotiations, bilateral negotiations, started between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
Right.
Let me remind people, it was President Obama who, after 8 years in his Middle East reset and all of the Muslim world supposed to love him, he couldn't use all of that goodwill. And of course, that's because most of those leaders all started falling in the Arab Spring.
Right.
But he could never get the Israelis and the Palestinians to even begin talks.
Now, so here is Mark Toner's statement. You need to hear what they said because, again, let me go quickly to Than. Than, tell everybody in 15 seconds here what we accomplished in the House of Representatives.
It was a unanimous statement from the House of Representatives saying that the United States should not do exactly what Secretary Kerry declined to promise to do, which is veto a resolution at the UN. If President Obama does this, Jay, he's going to do it without the support of Congress.
All right, here is the exact statement from Mark Toner. This is the spokesperson for the State Department.
There's been no decisions made either way about any kind of step that may or may not be taken at the UN or elsewhere.
All right, so this is a serious threat to Israel. I mean, it is very serious. We're going to take your calls and comments at this at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll be joined by Skip Ash, our senior counsel. Logan, let everybody know how they can engage. Only got a couple seconds here.
That's right. Join us on Facebook and Periscope. Facebook.com/JSekulow. Periscope streaming you new quality, higher quality over on Periscope right now. We're testing out. Search for Periscope. Just search for JSekulow.
All right, we'll be back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Obama administration and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the ACLJ is vital. We could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Listen, we've got a troubling development on the Middle East front. And by the way, I think this is dangerous for the president-elect and the new administration. They should not have their foreign policy determined by a last-minute move by the president as he's exiting out of the White House. And that's literally what's being threatened right now. Now, I'm going to set this up. This is the Secretary of State. The issue is there's a vote every year for sanctions against Israel at the United Nations, and including a mandatory return to the pre-67 borders, which are indefensible for the state of Israel. It's brought up by the Organization of the Islamic Conference States generally. And what happens is the United States has always, always vetoed it. That's just our standard operating procedure, is to issue the veto. So before I play the bite, you need to understand, Jordan, you've been at the UN and you've done negotiations at the UN. The fact of the matter is this has been standard operating procedure when it comes to these condemnations of Israel, especially when it comes to borders, yep. That we the United States do not let Israel be put in this kind of situation. There's always been a veto, for literally decades now.
Yes, and so the advocates of this could scream and shout about it and ultimately organize and put forward their resolutions. They would be vetoed. That was the operating procedure. And the U.S. policy, from Republican to Democrat, liberal to conservative, was that even if they differed on the reasons why, that they believed that ultimately, we believed as the most powerful country in the world, that the only way real peace could ever be achieved and a solution for the Palestinians that also worked for the Israelis was if the Israelis and Palestinians both agreed on it, like any other normal peace talks, so that it would not lead to more conflict and more war. That's been the overriding principle, whether you are on the left or on the right, is that you don't have the UN come in and force them to sit down.
All right, let me play John Kerry's soundbite here, and then I want to get Skip Ash, our senior counsel in charge of our National Security Practice International Law Group, to comment about this. We'll get Than's comments as well. But this is John Kerry at Chaim Saban's forum held at the Brookings Institute. Chaim Saban is an Israeli. He's in the entertainment business, but obviously this has got everybody concerned. This is Secretary of State John Kerry.
We have always stood against any imposition of a, quote, final status solution, and against any resolution that is unfair and biased against Israel, and we will continue. We don't support that. And there's been, there's been no decision made about any kind of step that may or may not be taken in that regard.
All right, so I want you to understand what he said. We've always stood against any imposition of these solutions and resolutions that's biased against Israel, and we will continue. We don't support that. And there's been no decision made about any kind of step that may or may not be taken in that regard. So obviously, Skip, I'm bringing this one to you. Well, obviously, they're not necessarily supporting it, and this is a threatened non-veto, basically, is what we've got right now. And let's talk about what that would mean and how significant it would be.
Well, that would be very significant because the United States, traditionally, when they do the veto, that stops any of the resolution from going forward from the U.N. Security Council. And only the U.N. Security Council, operating under Chapter 7 of the U.N. Charter, can pass an obligatory resolution that requires everyone to obey. So when the United States exercises a veto, it stops that process and protects Israel from an anti-Israel resolution, and they're always anti-Israel.
Also, quickly here, Skip, the pre-67 borders, how dangerous is that for Israel?
Oh, it's very dangerous. At its narrowest point, Israel, if they went back to the pre-1967 boundaries, would be 9 miles wide. That would be the narrowest point. And that's right at the Herzliya area. And that's Arabs would then have the high ground. So if you're from a military perspective, the high ground is always advantageous. So Israel will be very, very endangered by that. And let's keep in mind that those boundaries were armistice lines. They were never internationally recognized boundaries, and they were armistice lines and not internationally recognized boundaries because the Arabs demanded it.
Right.
So the very people now who want to go back to those are the very people who disavowed them being international boundaries in 1949.
You know, we've seen Brexit, we've seen Donald Trump's election, we've seen what happened in Italy on Sunday night, there with their prime minister resigning. We've seen a movement out of these international organizations before. You have to wonder, is if the Obama administration really pushed this at the end and did something like this, which would be shocking on an international level, shocking if it was more than just these words and threats. They love making those words and threats, and then usually they finally and ultimately do the right thing.
Right.
But if they did, I could see someone like a President Trump getting together with some of these other international leaders say, well, if the UN moves forward this way, if you recognize, we're done. So no funding from the United States, which, by the way, we have in place laws in our systems in Congress that I think actually can kick that right in. And I think you could see, which would not necessarily be good for the world. I'm not advocating for this, but you could have a justification for pulling out of these institutions and or significantly decreasing your funding.
If we decreased our funding, there'd be no UN. So, Stan, what's your read on this? And then I want to play Benjamin Netanyahu's comments. We'll take some calls.
Well, I think it's absolutely critical for people to take what Skip just said in conjunction with what Jordan just said, because internationally, listen, if peace is the goal, this is the absolute worst strategy, because it would mean conflict. It would mean war. But then second, Jay, domestically, and this is to Jordan's point, one of the most important things about a U.S. foreign policy is consistency. And the Trump administration, the incoming Trump administration, to their great credit, has made it very clear where they stand on this. They would veto a resolution like this. So if just 3 weeks before that new administration comes in, the Obama administration goes the other way, it would wreak havoc internationally.
All right, we're going to take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110, but we've already got some comments coming in on Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. This came in from Gary. He was just confused. He said, I thought the president was stripped of all power during these last days. Is he a lame duck at this point?
No, he is a lame duck, but that does not mean he doesn't have power.
In some way, you have more power.
Yes, because you have no accountability. So the problem is, that's why we've been saying, how many days are left? 54 days, I think. Here's the thing. No, not even 54 days. Here's the situation. This would be a parting move by the president, which would wreak unbelievable consequences for the state of Israel. And also, it's not reversible. In other words, the Trump administration could disagree with this and has already asked them not to do this, by the way. But the Trump administration can't reverse the United Nations. Here's what Benjamin Netanyahu had to say about this. Let's play soundbite 40.
Palestinians are trying to go to the UN in a vain effort to try to impose a solution. And I believe that this will push peace further away. Now, you'll remember that in 2011, President Obama vetoed a UN Security Council resolution on settlements, and he said at the UN that peace cannot be imposed through statements at the UN. This was the right policy then, and it's the right policy today.
Yeah, well, apparently with 44 days and 11 hours left in the administration, they're having a little bit of a change of heart here. So I think we've got to be cognizant of that.
Yeah, so it went from headlines saying they're basically not going to do anything, President Obama might not even speak on the issue, to I think a doubling down. It may be a reflection of Donald Trump's cabinet. It may be a reflection of these conversations we've heard about from Donald Trump and President Obama, that he realizes so much of his legacy building will be undone and start to be undone immediately on day one. But now the headlines read, so it went from last week saying this was basically settled.
Right.
We were very cautionary on that.
Yes, we were.
Not to overreact. But and that was because really Congress had spoken out so clearly. But now the headline in The Hill, which is the congressional newspaper, is Kerry takes harsh tone on Israel, suggests opening for action at United Nations.
That's
and this
not good.
Is the final days of the Obama administration. And what I think on this issue, it's what we've been concerned about the most over these final 4 years, once President Obama was reelected, is this kind of move during the time period when people are looking forward, which I get, you know, forward for their country. At the same time, the president has not lost any power at all.
Right.
The lame duck
lame
part
duck,
is that Congress doesn't really move forward on legislation on nominees.
But he doesn't
but he's
mean
not
he doesn't
lost
have power.
Any of his constitutional power.
Including commander-in-chief. All right, let's try to grab a call here before the break, Logan.
All right, let's go to Elma in California.
Hi, Elma. Go ahead.
Hi. My question is, how does the appointment of General Mattis by Donald Trump affect our relationship with Israel, since he kind of supports what John Kerry believes?
Yeah, so this is the one aspect of General Mattis that we are concerned about, not to the point of opposing the nomination, but are concerned about it, and that is he basically looked at his – he's in favor of a two-state solution. Well, so is Benjamin Netanyahu, but then he made this unfortunate reference calling it Israel an apartheid that it looks – He, in the context of what he said was, it looks like apartheid with the settlements. What he fails to understand, and he's a general, not a lawyer, but that is Israel's ground. They are allowed to build on their ground. That may not be politically expedient, by the way. I've said that before, that I think that Israel certainly has the right to do it. I mean, there's world politics at play. But that has me concerned. But I don't think we're going to have – I don't think you'll see a problem with the Secretary of Defense designate as it relates to Israel. Jordan,
no, I mean, ultimately, he carries out the president's orders. And so, yes, he'll be influential, but I think much more influential. Listen, Israel is a great military ally.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be influential in that part of the discussions, but he doesn't – have anything to do with the Secretary of State policy.
Yep.
That's why it's we still need to watch for Donald Trump is ultimately who gets that spot. It is those individuals that will really have serious influence with the President of the United States.
Yeah, Than, you're saying that it's also this is more the role of the Secretary of State.
Secretary of State's going to have a bigger role, but I would also say this. As General Mattis gets his waivers, the one question he has to answer, if he doesn't answer it sufficiently, Congress won't waive him and will allow him to take the spot.
All right, Skip, in 15 seconds here, how serious is this if the United States does not veto?
If the United States does not veto, I think it's going to be very serious for Israel because Israel then will have a fait accompli. The international community will then act as if the UN has spoken, and that resolves the issue.
Folks, that's why we're fighting. Skip, stay with us. I'm going to have you on the next segment, too, as we're getting some calls on the military stuff as well related to this. Folks, we want to encourage you right now to help us, and we're in a matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. That's why we're fighting at the UN for Israel, fighting in Washington, D.C., fighting with an office in Jerusalem. Talk to you in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Obama administration and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
All right, so this is something we warned you about. Last week we were pleased when Congress passed a resolution saying do whatever you need to do to defend Israel, its borders, veto if necessary at the United Nations. Than set that up for everybody. Than Bennett is our director of governmental affairs. That came out last week. We were very pleased with that. But we said don't stop working on this issue for precisely this reason. So, Than, set everybody up what happened in Congress.
It was HCON Res 165. I actually got a copy of it right here. It was basically a unanimous statement by the House of Representatives that tells President Obama he must veto any resolution that forces a settlement on Israel. So really, Jay, it was a political statement because this is an authority that the president has. But yep. It was every Democrat, every Republican in the House saying, if you, after the American people essentially elected a different message, if you go out and do this, you're going to do it on your own. And yet yesterday, Jay, Secretary Kerry indicated that they might do just that.
Well, let me also set up how dangerous is the return to the pre-67 borders. If you're just joining us now, Skip Ash is a senior counsel for the ACLJ, and he talked about this in the last segment, but it's worth repeating. You're talking about a return to the pre-67 borders. First of all, let's talk about what those borders are, and then, Skip, what those borders would mean.
Okay. We're dangerous when we call them borders. They should be called armistice lines because that's what they were, which means that's where the fighting stopped in 1949 when the Arabs and the Israelis were fighting together. So it has no geographical significance. And in fact, it's very often a geographically obtuse places or places where it's indefensible on the part of Israel to maintain those borders long term. And therefore, in 1967, the UN Security Council said that Israel had to withdraw from some land, but it did not have to withdraw to those borders because they were indefensible. So there are supposed to be negotiations for new borders. Again, at the narrowest point, if the whole West Bank were returned to the Arabs, at the narrowest point of Israel would be 9 miles wide. Mm. The whole country would be 9 miles wide, and the Arabs would have the high ground, and the Israelis would have the Mediterranean at their back. That would be a significant threat to the existence of the state of Israel. So this whole issue of borders is absolutely significant.
All right, let's go ahead and take phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We got a call coming in from Brazil.
Yeah, let's go to Tony in Sao Paulo, Brazil. You're on the air.
Hi, Tony. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good, sir.
I'm calling from Brazil. I watch you guys almost every day.
And great.
I just want to say thanks for all that you do.
Well, we appreciate that, and I know that in the call screener said you also appreciate the work that we're doing in Israel. Are you watching us, Tony, on Facebook?
Yes.
All right, great. Well, look, here's the thing. We know this, Jordan. You've been down in Brazil a couple of times, and there's a huge support for the state of Israel in Brazil.
Yeah, there is. The Christian community there, it's a growing evangelical community. I don't know if Tony's part of that. He could be from the more traditional, the Catholic community as well, which has also been people are getting educated about Brazil's role in the world. It's one of the largest countries in the world, not on this UN Security Council.
Unfortunately.
And they've had their own political turbulence, but kind of got through that during the Olympics and all that processes. But again, there is a widespread support, which is you see more and more if you travel into countries like Brazil, the ones you don't necessarily put on the top of the list when you think of main allies for the state of Israel. But what they can do diplomatically is bring along, you know, maybe in Latin America, you know, maybe a half dozen more countries who will follow Brazil's lead. And that's why they play an important role. Countries like Kenya as well. But I will tell you, these oftentimes when it gets to that leadership level, they'll have a good relationship with Brazil and Iran.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a different kind of set, not the people.
Well, you've negotiated that in Brazil.
So that's one of the reasons why we worked with Youssef Nader Khani, that we were in Brazil on his release, was because the U.S. had, at that time, this was before the nuclear talks, so the U.S. had no one to call in Iran officially.
But the Brazilians did.
Brazilian government was able to do that, and it was big thanks to them that he was released from prison.
Yeah. All right, let's go right back to the phone slogan, 1-800-684-3110. Who do we have next?
Let's go to Robert in Maryland on line one.
Hey, Robert, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Robert, Jordan, and Logan. I wanted to ask you all the question, what do the American people have to do in order to put pressure on the president not to use the United Nations not to submit a non-veto to have Israel go back to their pre-1967 borders, because President Obama is very fond of using the United Nations and treaties through the UN to even actually go against our sovereignty.
Yeah, so look, I mean, you raised the real question here is what can we do about this? So we've got a congressional resolution. There's not one Democrat that supports President Obama in this. So if he were to not exercise the veto, nobody supports that in the Congress. So that's kind of number one. Number two, and I think equal here is, and I'll go to Than on this, we've got to mobilize, and we are doing that. We've got petitions up at ACLJ.org, but we've got to be able to fight now at the UN on this issue directly. If it, in fact, is raised, we know it is now being raised because they're leaking it out through John Kerry's statements to let everybody know they may do this. So, Than, we've got to work our sources at the UN, but we also have to put pressure on the State Department.
That's right. Step number one was Congress, but step number two is twofold, and the first one is the one that Robert just mentioned. You have to know what's going on and make sure the administration cannot do this under the cover of dark. And the second thing, Jay, is to engage with organizations like ours who actually have a presence at the United Nations. There aren't many of those. But our European affiliate has non-consultative status at the UN, so we can actually go and specifically engage these issues at the United Nations. In the United States Congress, there's only one entity that can do that, and it's the President of the United States, but we can be there alongside of him.
So, Skip, let me ask you this question. If the President were to direct his UN ambassador to not veto, what would be the political consequences and military consequences for the State of Israel, in your view?
Well, in my view, we would have first of all, we have to assume there would be 9 votes out of the 15 that voted for the resolution. That means the resolution would be valid. If it's under title of Chapter 7 of the UN Security Council, or the Charter, that means that it would be obligatory on all members. And therefore, it would impose from without this concept of that the armistice lines were actually borders. It would violate its previous resolutions, 242 primarily, and 338, which said to implement 242. And in effect, it would box Israel's position in. It would make it sort of untenable, and Israel would become indefensible. And if the rest of the world were to say, well, the UN has spoken, and that's the voice of the international community, then Israel would really be isolated, and there would be a lot of pressure on Israel. And I'm not sure, other than the United States, the new administration coming in to assist it, that Israel would have be able to survive.
I think it could set up for a Middle East conflict in the likes of which we haven't seen since 1967. That's how serious I think this is.
I think you're right, because I think it would encourage the Arabs that are against Israel to come against Israel even more.
Yeah, I think that, and there's no doubt in my mind. So this is really serious. So we've got a petition up, ACLJ.org. We encourage you to sign it. I'm also going to ask you to stand with the ACLJ. Now, we're not just talking about it. Petitions are very effective here, but we've got to take action as well, and that means our teams have to be mobilized. We have a matching challenge campaign that's up right now. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for, and it's tax deductible. And we've gotten some very significant gifts. We're ahead again this month as we were last month. We want to keep that momentum going. ACLJ.org for that. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for again. ACLJ.org. We're going to be here for another 30 minutes. We've got a lot more ahead on this topic. Logan, let everybody know how they can engage.
That's right. You can join us many different ways. Facebook and Periscope are broadcasting live there. Full studio quality video on both, as well as studio quality audio, and you get to comment and be on the show that way. So you put in a comment, it comes to the social team, and they pass them along to me, and I get to read some of the best ones on the air. Or you can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. 2 lines just opened up. Again, 1-800-684-3110. If we lose you here and you need to get back to work or do whatever you need to do, find us later on the ACLJ app or on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast.
All right, folks, when we take a break, we'll take more of your calls when we come back at 1-800-684-3110. But don't forget that matching challenge campaign. Month of December is our biggest month. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment. Let's sing it
tonight. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
That the United States government, the House of Representatives, passed a unanimous resolution telling the president, if you got a veto, veto at the UN, protect Israel's sovereignty. Don't make Israel have indefensible borders. And we told you, don't stop looking at this. Don't stop engaging on this. We didn't stop engaging on it, although we were very happy with the move. Secretary Kerry comes out with this statement. I'm going to play it for you, and I'm going to break it down for you as I would a legal case, because this is doublespeak, and it's dangerous. And he's also trying to bootstrap the Trump administration, which is also dangerous. But lame duck, as Jordan, as you said last time, doesn't mean the president doesn't have authority. He could do this if he wants to. He could say no UN.
It's really a broad term that applies to, yes, the president's final days in office and Congress, because many of the members of Congress, it's their final days in office as well, both in the House and the Senate. So they don't pass much substantive legislation. Yes, right. There's some budgetary issues, funding the government issues, but that's it. Nominees are done. Appointments are done. Anything that needs confirmation from the Senate has been done for a long time. Now, it's even like a longer period.
Yep.
That does not mean, however, that the president loses the power to sign legislation that Congress can't pass.
They or just, that he can instruct his U.N. ambassador to not veto.
And when it comes to foreign policy, it's absolutely under his control until President-elect Trump takes the oath of office on January 20th. And we're still more than a month out from that date.
Yeah.
We're not right there on the cusp of that. That gives him the time to work on this even in the new year, he has 19 days left as being the most powerful leader in the world.
Let me give you the headline from the New York Times on this. You need to see the headline. Jordan read one from The Hill. I'm going to read one from the New York Times. In harsh terms, Kerry says Israel is undermining peace efforts. This is the headline from the New York Times, blaming Israel for peace effort problems, not the Palestinians who are continuing to incite violence. Now, here's John Kerry's statement at the Saban conference. Chaim Saban, an American, big in the entertainment industry, very pro-Israel. But here's what this is what John Kerry said at his conference.
We have always stood against any imposition of a, quote, final status solution. And against any resolution that is unfair and biased against Israel, and we will continue. We don't support that. And there's been, there's been no decision made about any kind of step that may or may not be taken in that regard.
Yeah, okay, so let's break this down for everybody. We've always stood against any imposition of a, quote, final status solution and against any resolution that would be unfair and biased against Israel, so return to the pre-67 armistice lines. And we will continue. We don't support that. And there's been no decision made about any kind of step that may or may not be taken in that regard. We don't support that, but there is no decision made whether they're going to veto it or not. Well, Than, that's doublespeak from John Kerry.
Well, it sure is. And it's true that the United States has always stood against these resolutions. But what we've seen over the course of the last 8 years is a step-by-step walking away from that position. Jay, the last time, the United States didn't promise to veto it until the vote was cast. And, oh, by the way, had the United States supported the resolution, it would have had the votes to pass. So the Obama administration has been walking away from this. They are literally one step away from taking the final step and allowing this resolution to pass.
You got a comment or a call you want to take, Logan?
A lot of comments just coming in about how lame duck presidents are the most dangerous and must be contained.
And this is an example of that, by the way.
Says, just when I think the president will do the right thing for the country before he leaves, I'm wrong again. And a lot of just general talk, that kind of comments coming up.
Well, here's the point on that. So the Congress has passed a resolution with 100% support saying don't do this. And the president, as Jordan said, still has the authority to do it if he wants to. That's the reality of what we've got. And we're naive if we think this president wouldn't do it if he thought it would further his agenda. So, again, to reiterate this lame duck thing, lame duck on foreign policy doesn't exist until the next president of the United States is sworn in.
Yeah, that's right. So there can be pressure made by the Trump transition team. We've heard that's already been the case. But when you hear what John Kerry's done, he's reopened a door that we thought was closing. It wasn't totally closed yet. We thought this door was starting to close. He's reopened now the door completely to, and he's, what he's telling the world is, come forward with a resolution that isn't too condemning specific. Don't focus just on Israel. Focus equally on both sides. One, we can say, see, it's fair to both. Now, the only person benefiting in this, any deal brokered by the UN, though, would be the Palestinians. And who are they exactly? Because one of their groups, half of them are led by Hamas, the other by the Palestinian Authority. So even defining them as a people group right now, or a government body, is nearly impossible.
All right, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110 when we come back from the break.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most, whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Obama administration and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the ACLJ is vital. We could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. So we've mobilized our teams on for two reasons here. Let me be clear. One is, this would put Israel in an indefensible position. I mean, completely indefensible position. So we have mobilized our teams to defend Israel at the United Nations and in Washington, D.C. And there's a second problem, and Jordan touched on this during our break just now, and that is, if President Obama does not exercise the traditional veto on this issue of the changing of the borders and a forced solution in the Middle East, which would be detrimental to Israel, the fact is it bootstraps the incoming president-elect and his administration and their foreign policy and their Secretary of State. So don't buy into this. The president is lame duck in the traditional sense. You're not lame duck on foreign policy. And the ramifications for the Trump administration to be bootstrapped with an anti-Israel resolution being let to be stayed, not being interfered with by the United States, where normally we veto it, would be dramatic, to say the least.
Yeah, no, I mean, dramatic is almost like an understatement. If the U.S. were to take and change their kind of normal operating pattern that's gone from administration to administration, which made it clear, so long as you are putting forward resolutions which are more condemning of Israel than they are about even seeking a peace process, we're going to oppose it. We are going to support bilateral negotiations. That's what we've called on the world to help to put pressure on both the Palestinians and the Israelis to come together and discuss this on their own terms, setting their own agenda items, where the U.S. and other countries could be there to foster the discussion, but that's it. It will not be a U.S. deal. It won't be a U.N. deal. It would be an Israeli-Palestinian deal that would ultimately their political leaders that were chosen by their people would work out. This move, what it would do is would start sanctioning those parties on both sides of this who weren't complying. And I would tell you that anything that's been proposed in the past, there's no way Israel would comply with. We've walked through those reasons. But it would also, everybody's out there thinking, well, can't this just be undone by Donald Trump? No, it's like the Iranian nuclear deal. The U.S. could shift policy, But once the Security Council has acted, you've got to have the Security Council go back and act. So you get 9 votes again and no vetoes to stop this. That will never happen at the United Nations. The makeup, we've gone through the countries before about who's rotating on and off. And we could go through it again later in the broadcast. But it again, you can find a lot more than 9 votes for this at the UN Security Council, unfortunately.
So everybody understands, so we're going to go right to the phone calls here. This would be a not only a change of precedent, but set a historically bad precedent.
It would do dramatic harm to the consistency of the U.S. foreign policy. And just to underscore something that Jordan said, to undo it, first of all, yes, you'd need 9 votes, but then you would also need every single member of the permanent 5. It is just something that's never going to happen.
Right.
So with 1 month left in the administration, it is something that just absolutely cannot be done.
All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan, or a comment.
All right, let's go to Joy in Alabama on line 3.
Hi, Joy.
Hi. Yes, Jay. What can we do from out here? I mean, I've signed petitions. Yep. I've called senators and congressmen. It all sounds like they're on board, so I really don't want to call the White House because they don't want to hear from me. But what troubles me about this is Obama kind of playing both sides of the field here, because Trump has said he's going to tear up the Iran agreement, and whoever's over Iran, their president or whatever he's called, the other day has made a statement about they elected some man in the United States that said he's going to tear up the Iran deal, which we all know.
So there's not a direct interrelation between the Iran, and there's no signed agreement. There's nothing to tear up with Iran. It was like an understanding, which is absurd. But there's not a direct interplay here. However, we know where the president's sympathies lies on the Middle East negotiations. And you could see that just the way he supported or didn't support portions of the Arab Spring, for instance, when there were a million students in the streets of Iran, President Obama's administration did not back those students. When they were out to get rid of Mubarak, he did support it, who was our ally. So inconsistent is an understatement, Joy. The problem is this has really serious ramifications as well for the state of Israel, but also for our own national security. And again, it goes back to our allies don't know when to trust us or not trust us. So that's what's going on here. All right, thanks for calling in, Joy. Let's take more calls or comments at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, Charlie on Periscope said, I'm also disturbed they use the language final status solution. Sounds like Hitler rhetoric.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know
what... You take out status.
Yeah, the final solution.
Right, that's what I mean.
I mean, we said during the break... Why would John Kerry pick those words? I mean, it's a loaded term when you talk about final solutions.
Absolutely.
Because that's the words that the Nazis used about the Jews of Germany. And when the Nazis were on the march, they talked about the final solution. So why in the world would you use this? You deal with diplomacy, Jordan, but I mean, that was a poor use of terminology.
This is probably the diplomatic term used at the United Nations without regard, because they don't care about Israel. They don't really care about Jewish people at the UN. That is not a minority group that gets a lot of attention at the UN. You will hear about transgender women or men from various countries in the third world developing in their rights that will be upheld. You don't hear about Jews internationally, but certainly not when it comes then to Israel. There is no more single issue more controversial at the UN, and this is not making a statement, this is just being factual, than Israel itself. As if Israel... I mean, you know, you look at these political despots, you can point to so many where democracies don't work, kingdoms exist, there are no civil rights, there are no civil liberties, no freedom of speech. Those countries get barely any attention, unless they have nuclear weapons like North Korea. But even the North Koreans don't get as condemned as much by the UN.
It's unreal. All right, let's go ahead and take another call, Logan.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to John in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing, Jay? My stand is this here. I'm a black man here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and believe me, as I spoke earlier, I get a lot of razzing because I don't stand or did not stand for the now sitting president. Didn't vote for him twice, and proud of it. I saw a snake when I first heard of him, and I learned as an Oklahoma country boy, you don't pick up snakes.
But, well, I don't want to disparage. Let's not call him. John, that doesn't help us. Go ahead with your comment. Calling the president of the United States a name doesn't help. But go to your point.
That, and I apologize for that.
Okay.
It's just that I was suspicious. Let's put it that way.
You have the reason to be suspicious because the policies that he's putting forward, he's not hiding these. I mean, John Kerry's out there threatening to do this.
No, I get what John was using with the metaphor, too. I don't think it was the evil side of the snake so much as the uncontrollable side, is that you don't really know. It's like it could go left, it could go right, it could go straight at you, it could run away from you. And that's what they've done with this position. They first have foreclosed it, then they've opened the door again.
That was a good cover, by the way.
It's back and forth. I mean, it's just back and forth. Yes, and they can bite you.
Yeah.
That's one of the things they can do, but they don't always. I mean, I think that the people look around the world at President Obama. He draws red lines and sometimes goes in, you know, agree. But more often than not, the red line is drawn, and then it's not – the adversary crosses that line, and we do nothing. So you cannot predict – the movements of this administration. You can only hope that more sound minds ultimately are making these decisions. I don't have great faith in that when you get to these final days of a presidency. And I think the Secretary of State, John Kerry, deserves to have to explain this more. He is the one that's brought this back up again as a real potential issue. I think they're floating it. They always test these issues.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and take another call or comment, Logan.
Yeah, this comment came from Ellen. She said, I can see why our allies don't trust us. How can they?
Well, this is the problem, and then we're coming down to where it's going to count in the next. I mean, we are at the countdown to the days. I had the number up and how many days left here, but this can happen in a moment's notice at the UN.
Well, and think how far we've come, Jay. You think about the spring of 2009. The position of the Obama State Department was already that year that they would veto a resolution like that. Here we are in December of 2016. And Jay, I am not convinced that on January 19th at the United Nations, they might have come so far that they would not veto this type of resolution. So it's been baby steps. I think Jordan is right that they've shifted positions on this one at a time. He doesn't have to go back to the ballot box, Jay, so he could do this without the American people having a chance to respond to it.
You know, I just got an email, literally, Jordan, you just got it too, from the head of our legal office in Jerusalem, David Benjamin, says, have you all seen this? Further to our recent activity in anticipation of a possible move at the UN, Palestinian issue, here's the quote from the transcript of John Kerry, and it's the quote we've been playing. So our office in Israel is concerned about where this is going to, folks. This is a perfect example of why you're helping us makes a huge difference. And as we're in our matching challenge campaign for the month of December, which is a big month for us, I want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org right now and sign on not only to these petitions, but support the work of the ACLJ. Your tax-deductible gift makes a huge difference. That's how we have an office in Jerusalem, so we continue this fight. So again, the easiest way to do that is ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. And we'll take more of your calls and comments when we come back from the break as well. Any comment to get in quickly here, Logan?
Look for a comment real quick. This recent came in. No, really? Honestly, not right now.
He's got a comment he doesn't want to read. Got it. Yeah. All right, got it. There you go. He's holding on the comment. All right, we'll take more of your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. I will say our teams in New York, in Washington, in Jerusalem, in Strasbourg, France, already working on the situation on Israel's behalf. Again, you can help us continue that work by supporting our matching challenge campaign. The easiest way to do that is ACLJ.org. And like our Facebook pages as well, and stay engaged with us on social media so you can find out what's happening. We'll take more of your calls. We come back from the break at 800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Obama administration and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Phone calls. It's the last segment of the broadcast, so we take your calls and comments. Let's go right to them.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to David, who's calling on line six.
Hi, David.
Hey, Jay. Yep. Thank you guys for the work you guys are doing. You're true friends of Israel.
Yep.
I have a question for you. If the United States should pull funding from the UN, what would happen with the previous UN resolutions?
Well, the resolutions would still be law, in a sense. They'd be resolutions, but the UN's effectiveness would be, look, there was a League of Nations before there was a UN. There's no longer a League of Nations. It would be of no effect. But if the United States were to pull out of the funding of the UN, let me tell you what happens to the UN. I don't think it could succeed.
Not in its current form. It may be a den of despots. It may, you know, end up being that. But an actual international working organization. I mean, look at the European Union falling apart as we speak. And you know, one of their biggest partners, having the UK as part of the EU, is what kind of made the EU more than just, you know, the France, Spain, Germany. And Italy, and Germany, and then the smaller post Soviet countries.
Right.
Then you've got now the situation where, I mean, if you take the UK out of that, it's a problem. Now they still have not really done it, but just the move to start that process.
Yep.
Same thing goes with the US and the United Nations. I don't want to see that happen, by the way, because I do believe it becomes a den of despots within power. And it may not be as effective, but they still have a military force, this peacekeeping force, and these authorities to go out and carry out these missions. So we could disable, in a sense, the UN, but it would still exist.
Yeah.
And so the ultimate
almost
truth is—
almost more dangerous.
But I could see, unfortunately, this administration, the new administration, being so upset with these processes— that you could start seeing talk like this. And I don't think the talk like it, by the way, would be such a bad thing at the UN to lay out for the whole world to know how much we pay for each of your kids in the undeveloped world, in the developing world, to eat, how much the U.S. pays, right, not just the UN, because how much of the budget of the UN is coming from us.
All right, Thane, really quickly on that point, and because I know there's a lot to unpack there, but when could this come up, this UN move, the resolution?
It could come up any time between now and the 20th. I mean, it could come up after that as well, but then, of course, the new president-elect would stand in the way. And I would just say to the last caller, this is actually one of the things that Congress threatened. They threatened to pull funding from the UN if this happens, specifically for the reason that we would be funding Hamas, a terrorist organization.
Right.
So that would violate U.S. law, and we could pull funding down.
All right, let's go ahead. We're going to kind of really go through these calls quick, Logan.
All right, let's just go in order. Let's go to Michael in California.
Michael, you're on the air.
Yeah, my question is— the 1948 borders.
Yeah, armistice lines. Yep.
Where would they be, and what would that do if they rolled them back to that?
Well, you would have Jerusalem in the control of the Palestinian Authority, so your Christian holy sites would be off limits. You would have a portion of Israel that's entire width would be less than 9 miles. So this would be a return to the original mandate borders. And the problem with that is not only did Israel succeed when they were attacked by the Arab armies, and that's what happened, but it also, and so under international law, Israel's in the right here. So a two-state solution is fine if you have two partners that really want to negotiate for peace. The problem is you don't. Yeah. But we appreciate that call, Michael. Let's go take another. Go ahead, Jordan.
I was just going to explain to people who we're dealing with here on the Security Council. We focus so much on the veto-wielding countries. But let's say the U.S. didn't step in the way, but didn't necessarily vote yes on this. So they abstained. That means it would be up to China, France. France will probably be the one that introduced it, so it's not going to be them. Russia, who I think could go either way here, but is more likely to just go along with the world on this. The UK and take the US out. Here's the other members. These rotate on and off, so some will actually change come January. But as of today, you got to find nine out of those five I just read plus these. Angola, Egypt, Japan, Malaysia, New Zealand, Senegal, Spain, the Ukraine, Uruguay, and Venezuela. I can easily find nine votes for this when you put those two groups together.
Dangerous. We're on top of this,
let's
folks.
Let's take some more calls. Let's go to Richie in Ohio.
Richie, go ahead.
Hi, Merry Christmas, everybody. Hey, Jay, earlier you mentioned something about his agenda, if this were to go through.
Yep.
My question is pretty much two parts. One is, what is his agenda, and what would he gain by doing this?
Well, look, I mean, he's not been successful in the Middle East at all. So he's threatening, he's trying to get Israel to stop building settlements, as he calls them, but that's on the Israelis' own land. So this is his parting shot, and this would be basically removing an obstacle. It would put Israel in a more dangerous place, and this would be placating the Muslim world, which has not worked out very well, but that's exactly what his plan's been. But it would be disastrous, and it would be not right for the new administration's already made it clear, the incoming administration, to not do this. Even Hillary Clinton said don't do it if she was going to be president. So this is not just Donald Trump. But this president had his Secretary of State go out to a conference and make that statement that nothing's off the table, basically. We can't take it for granted. Thank you for your call.
Let's go. Moving on. Let's go to Marlene in Texas.
Hi, Marlene. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
My question is, if we go back to pre-'69 and we blocked in Israel, don't you think they're going to try to go further than that?
Look, this would be the beginning overture. I mean, Than, that's one of the things we're concerned about. It would completely destabilize the region. You could start with a military conflict that would make the 1967 war look like modern day history and coming to life.
One of the things you hear from the Arab world and at the United Nations itself, Jay, is that there is a goal to push Israel into the sea. Literally, that's the words that they use, push Israel into the sea. You know what makes that goal a lot easier? If it's only 9 miles wide with its back to the Mediterranean. Yeah. That's the ultimate goal here, is to push the entire country into the sea.
All right, let's go take another call. We got to grab two here in two minutes.
Christine in California. Go ahead.
Christine, go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for what you're doing. I'm sorry I'm so emotional after your last comment. This scares the living you-know-what.
Well, I mean, we're not doing this to scare anybody. What we're doing is trying to lay out the fact of what's it. I mean, Jordan laid out those countries because that's the reality. I mean, we don't have the luxury of getting emotional here. I mean, I understand you're emotional here, Christine. I appreciate that. But we're the lawyers, so we don't get to be emotional on this. We have to deal with the fact. This is not a hospitable community for the Israelis.
It's not a piece of legislation. It doesn't, you know, it's
can't be challenged in a court.
No, can't be. It is not. So you could say, oh, does that violate the rules of the UN? There's no way to handle it that way. If the only way to take this back would be as if the UN Security Council itself took it back.
Yeah, that's not happening.
That is not happening. So you can't go back and re-veto to explain to people. That's where the U.S. gives up so much power. The U.S. can't change administration.
It's a resolution.
Oh, we'd now like to veto that. You can't do that.
All right, let's get the last call.
All right, Mike in Sunrise, Florida, you're on the air.
Mike, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for the great work today, guys.
Thanks.
Question that occurred to me, the U.S. Agrees under Obama to do whatever the term permanent solution, that seems to be a treaty. Without ratification,
it's not a treaty. It's a UN resolution. But it, as Jordan just said, once that resolution's in place, it would take an act of the Security Council to undo it.
The treaty part would be the ultimate recognition of the Palestinian state. That would be far off in this process.
Yeah.
But here's what makes it binding: threat of the use of military force, which Security Council resolutions always allow for if you don't cooperate. The threat of financial sanctions, serious sanctions on your members, the inability for your governments to travel and operate diplomatically, and the treatment as an international pariah, which the UN does its best job of already treating Israel that way. Now, with this kind of resolution, it would make it that much easier. I'm talking about consequences as serious as military action that Congress and the next president can't just step in the way and stop.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. we engage the issues that matter most. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.